This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Hey everyone, it's Cal Penn. I'm inviting you to join the best-sounding book club you've ever heard with my podcast, Hearsay, the Audible and iHeart audiobook club. Every episode, I nerd out with amazing guests and dive into the best new audiobooks available on Audible. It's the book club for your ears. Listen to Hearsay, the Audible and iHeart audiobook club on the iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Murphy, Sam & Jody After the Show podcast. And if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're not, we'll explain it to you. But if you're watching on YouTube, sitting in Jody's chair is a proper DNA substitute. Our youngest daughter, Phoebe, because Jody is not. Jody's still at the hospital with her mom as her mom recovers. And, of course, our oldest daughter, Taylor, has been here to talk about her, you know, forays into, she's getting her master's degree to become a licensed professional counselor. And so we haven't done an update on Phoebe's in a while. So Phoebe is a music major right now. And I know that that's not where we're necessarily going with this, but you're a music major because of your love for music, Phoebe's.
Yes.
So, and which I love, you know, you've grown up in a pretty musical household, I would say. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. I'm sure that's probably 85% of the reason that I love it so much.
Yeah. And your taste in music is really very broad and very diverse. And for anybody that doesn't know, you play guitar, you play acoustic, and you play electric.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just start with, like, what's, you know, the favorites. And I know there are some that go way back because I remember hearing all the music playing in your room. So we can start literally wherever you want with, you know, what your favorites are, why, what you find really compelling about their music, any place you want to go with
it. Okay. So favorites to listen to or favorites to
play or both? Yeah.
Ooh, okay. They differ a little bit because I'd say probably I started really getting into music maybe like middle school,
yeah,
like seriously getting into it, and I was listening to a ton of Queen.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's, I was just so invested, and then that was also when the movie Bohemian Rhapsody came out, which was just perfect timing for me. And then I got on a really big Stevie Wonder kick, who is one of my definite biggest inspirations ever.
This is just like one of a million incredible songs, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
He's so iconic. And you, one of my favorite things that you ever did is you were so into him, you actually painted your version of the album cover. Which album cover was it?
I think it was just a portrait of him.
Okay.
It was just a picture.
I don't know why I thought you had pulled that from one of, you know, an actual album cover, but it's a...
You're talking about the one on cardboard?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's just on cardboard.
We've got it hanging in the house.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You can tell it's on cardboard when you get up close to it.
Oh, I had.
Well.
Okay, I didn't remember that.
It's pretty lumpy.
I'm curious. What was your reaction when your dad told you that we were sitting like 3 feet from Stevie Wonder at that thing in L.A. a few weeks ago?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I was at the beach and I was with my friends at the Airbnb and I was outside. And when I came inside, they were like, "What happened?" Because they heard me go, "Oh my God, you saw what?" And yeah. I was losing my mind. I was so excited to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we were too. He was sitting 4 feet from Sam, and that's not the kind of thing that happens to us every day.
No.
You know, it does not happen. It's not like we run in those circles. And so for me, I would say he's probably one of the most iconic people I've ever, and I didn't meet him, but just seeing him was just like, oh my God, there's celebrity status. And then you have this off the chart icon pinnacle of the mountain kind of thing, and that's exactly what that was. So I couldn't wait to tell you that, because I bumped into him walking out of the bathroom and realized, oh, they told us there was going to be a surprise guest, and that wasn't the moment I could introduce myself to him. So I didn't, you know.
But that's so cool.
It was, you bumped
into Stevie Wonder in the bathroom.
Yeah, I know.
That's so much cooler than even just seeing him across the room.
So Stevie was one of yours, and I know that George Harrison, you really got into, you know, early. It was, so was it Beatles first, then George Harrison, or did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'd say it was Beatles, and then probably Wings, Paul McCartney, and then George Harrison. Yeah, both of them are huge for me, but yeah, the George Harrison solo stuff, and his music with the Beatles, too, is just...
Is it George Harrison Beatles era, or is it George Harrison, you know, when he was doing Got My Mind Set on You, all of that... Tom Petty stuff.
Yeah, I would say it's more All Things Must Pass George Harrison for me.
Which was his first solo album, right?
Yeah.
And there were five LPs in that one?
I couldn't tell you the exact number, but I think it was his first solo.
I was trying to find
out.
I thought that we had a copy.
Maybe his biggest.
Yeah, I thought we had a copy of Blow Away in here, which we don't have time to find it right now. But that album, you bought that one. You didn't buy it at a garage sale, right?
That was at an antique store, and that's his self-titled album.
Yeah, which came out in 1979 or 80. Mm-hmm. That was my dad's favorite George Harrison album. So that one in our house when I was a kid was playing constantly.
Yeah.
And so when that became really one of your favorites from him and you listened to it over and over, it was like reliving childhood for me. I thought that was cool.
I think that's really cool, too. Yeah, anyone listening who hasn't heard that album, you should definitely go listen to it because it's one of those albums, too, where there's not really a bad song on it. They're all great.
Yeah.
And, I love that kind of album.
So, you know, George Harrison is somebody I know that you, from the musician side of you, is somebody you really appreciate deeply. What at that level, what is it about him that you love?
I'd say songwriting and guitar playing. Is the biggest, they're the biggest ones for me. And because, of course, he's one of the greatest songwriters. Of course, his songwriting was underappreciated in the Beatles during that time. But, his songs are just so, just well put together, well organized and
musically
beautiful.
And lyrically, right?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then his guitar playing is also very unique.
God, that is so true. I mean, when you listen to him, there's a style
you
to
know it's
him.
Yeah,
and I was hoping I had something here, you know, for that he did with the Beatles. But he wasn't that a song he wrote in like 15 minutes or something crazy like that. I think Something was one of those that he was in a studio next door and one of those classic wrote it on a napkin, took it in the studio, and the next thing you know,
it's a classic.
But you know, the fact, and this obviously is very. I think it's impressive because you're talking about the artistry of people like Stevie Wonder, these are all singer-songwriters that you're really into from a time period long before you were actually born, but they are just absolute, you know, icons in music. Mm-hmm. And so because they wrote, played, sang, did all of it. I mean, look, even
Stevie Wonder.
Right. Stevie Wonder is the quintessential studio musician on songs like Superstition. He played every instrument on, you know, songs like that. Mm-hmm. And you were like into that really early on.
Yeah.
I guess I should have asked you that too. Like, what is it about Stevie lyrically and otherwise that you love?
I don't know. Everything. I feel like I just loved. Okay, the thing I love about Stevie Wonder is that his hooks and the groove that he gets into, he repeats it for 8 minutes.
Yeah, he does.
And so it's really good, and you get to enjoy it for such a long time. And I think that's what I found special about Stevie Wonder, because it doesn't get old the entire time, and which I think is just, that really says a lot about a musician. And yeah, I just love that. I felt like I was escaping into the songs whenever I would listen to them. And yeah, I just loved how long they went on for. And
yeah, what for me, a Stevie Wonder song, whether it's like, I mean, Isn't She Lovely? It's got that, you know, long ending to it. Superstition may be one that actually doesn't go on, you know, longer than the average one. But like songs like I Wish, you know, that just, they have the jam that just goes on. It's almost like you lyrically enjoy what he's singing about. And then you're in the groove, and you just get to experience it beyond what the natural end of the song would be.
Yeah.
And yes, I love that. That's why, I mean, songs like Do I Do are, what, like 8 minutes long, nine mm-hmm. minutes long, I think. Mm-hmm. And
I love that song.
And you got into some of his earlier stuff also, like mm-hmm. Now, of course, I'm trying to remember the name of the song. He's at the three huge albums that he had in the 1970s. And it was a song that you actually wound up introducing me back to. Maybe Your Baby is the name of the song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that called that one's the Talking Book?
You would probably remember that. To me, being like a kid of the radio, I just remember the singles, and it took me a while
it's
to remember.
It's just Talking Book.
It is Talking Book.
Talking Book, 1972.
Okay, 1972, which was a huge... Yeah.
Maybe Your Baby is great. That song, and that's another one that goes on forever.
It does.
And it's really cool, too, because his vocals in it, he recorded it himself singing, I believe, slower in a deeper key.
Yeah.
And then sped up the tapes. Huh. And so his voice is higher.
Yeah.
And it's in the correct key for the song. But it's so interesting. And one of my favorite parts of the song is it's way into it, and he's doing the high voice thing, and he just goes, "I'm a little boy," and it's so funny. I love it so much.
Yeah, he for the longest time, I thought that song had backing female vocals to it, but it didn't. It's all Stevie's.
Yeah, it's all him.
Yeah, it's all Stevie's artistry.
Is there a song yet? Not necessarily Stevie, but because I know you play gigs and stuff too. But is there a song that like is your ultimate master? I gotta master this song. I want to be able to play this song.
Oh,
that you've tried it and you just can't get it yet, or something on the list.
Definitely, just the acoustic introduction to "Crazy on You" by Heart.
Oh, yeah.
I just would love to do that one. I have tried it a little bit, and it wasn't for me yet, but but I'm getting there.
Yeah,
and I'd like to do it. So,
I bet you will.
Mm-hmm.
I know that one of the songs that you and I didn't know that you had actually done this song until I watched you play it acoustically as Michael McDonald.
Oh, yeah. We're not in love
anymore. But you also do your own little interpretation of it. You honor the key and the chords of the song.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you'll adjust it to your range, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you really honor the way that the song actually sounds. It never sounds karaoke to me because I feel that you embrace the songs that you learn to play because you genuinely love the song. And so you're trying to express it the same way artistically that a singer-songwriter would mm-hmm. instead of just playing along with it or playing the song.
Well,
that makes sense?
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think
because
it's
a Michael McDonald song, his voice is so stylized that you know you're not going to be able to be Michael McDonald on stage if you're going to do – it's like a Whitney Houston song. It's going to have to be your own thing mm-hmm. because these are so iconically stylized artists that if you try too hard to be them, then you're going to sound karaoke versus, you know, mm-hmm. just being a singer.
Yeah, and just kind of tapping into your own style a little more. And I feel like that's part of the fun of putting together the set list, because my set list is always, you know, I'm always taking songs out and replacing them with different ones because I do get bored of some of the songs, you know. And some of them are simpler to play than others are. But hearing a song and going, I think I could hear an acoustic version of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sit down and you try to play it, and then the way that you first start playing it, it's like, well, this sounds a little tacky. What can I do to make it more my own? And sometimes I'll run into songs where I go, well, I don't think I can tackle this right now. I don't think I can make this my own right now. I need to learn a few more things, a few more tricks, and maybe I'll revisit it at some point.
So, Carole King. But it's too late, baby, now. She was one of those that as you started kind of exploring the 70s, I know that you came into, and you do play It's Too Late.
Mm-hmm.
I know you love So Far Away by her also.
Yes, I love that song.
Have you mastered playing that one yet? I've heard you do It's Too Late, which I think you
do
great.
No, I haven't. I haven't played It's Too Far. It's Too Far Away.
It's far too late.
So Far Away.
I haven't done So Far Away yet. Because it's so beautiful on the piano that I think there's a part of me, I have these personal hang-ups sometimes where I'm like, yeah, I could do it on guitar, but I just love the piano so much. And
so every vinyl collector needs a copy of Tapestry. Do you have Tapestry yet?
No, I do not.
We need to get you that one.
We'll get that, yeah.
Yeah, because that was her Grammy Award-winning album. Time. That was the one. She had been a songwriter for so many years for others through the 1960s before she did, you know, her own thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you make me feel like a natural woman.
Yeah, for Aretha Franklin.
Which was on Tapestry, but I was so excited when I learned that, and because I knew the Aretha version first, of course, and that's one of the coolest songs ever, and her version is great too, and I just like that. Yeah, I like that she has her own.
So, you know, I should point out also that really, as you started to get into from the Queen, you went the rock, you know, route, but you really landed hard in the R&B space, which, of course, you know, is personally my absolute favorite also. I'm definitely from the Motown era, the Muscle Shoals era, all of those songs are the Stax Volt, you know, Memphis sound, Detroit. I mean, there's so many iconic R&B sounds from the 60s and the 70s that are really, really special, you know, and live on. And I know that you were one that really I thought was so cool was when you discovered, I should say, Sam and Dave.
Yeah, well, you showed me Sam and Dave, yeah. So it wasn't out of nowhere, but yeah.
So tell me what resonates with you with those. And I don't, you have definitely done your own interpretation of some R&B songs, but not, not you know, wrap it up.
I think, yeah, it's just, it's the groove and a lot of R&B, I don't know, R&B kind of has gospel influences too.
Yes.
And those chord progressions are just the coolest. And, but it's always just, there's always a certain special groove to it that is just unbeatable.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting.
You feel it, honestly.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
I find it interesting because I'm not an R&B performer at all. And sometimes I hope it comes out a little bit because I love it so much, but
right.
That's not really my sound, but it definitely, it's one of my favorite genres, just specifically the old 70s and 60s. But yeah. I do love modern R&B as well. But yeah, I'm kind of stuck in that time.
Is there a song that when you're playing your gigs, you perform that you like to perform that, you know, it's not necessarily a hit and not everybody's going to know the song?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Let me think. I mean,
you go kind of Taylor Swift deep on some things, don't you?
Yeah, a little bit. I haven't been doing as much of her stuff lately, but she has some of the music from her albums Folklore and Evermore, which are not as popular. I like those a lot, and I've done some of those before, and some people know them. I mean, a lot of people know them because it's Taylor Swift, but yeah. But I'd say, too, my favorite is More Today Than Yesterday by The Spiral Staircase.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It was a hit. I think.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was a huge hit. It was actually a number one song
yeah.
in the very late 1960s.
But people don't always recognize it whenever I play that one. But yeah. I love doing those kinds too, that I know that I love this song. And I don't know, if you're doing a 3-hour set,
you, like, you want to introduce it to people
yeah.
and like see how they react to hearing it the first time.
Yeah. Well, I also like to just play it and look around and see who's going to look up and notice it. That's always really fun.
Well, and it raises eyebrows even when you do Hotel California, your version of that. Your stylings are really, when you do these gigs, most of them are acoustic and you're doing them sort of, I don't want to say background for a restaurant, but you've adapted it to that kind of environment so that it's, you know, it's still got a rhythm to it, but it's suitable for a restaurant space.
And yeah, it's meant to be ambiance.
Yeah, and your styling, you know, fits that. I love the 90s songs that you do too. Like the Cranberries.
Yeah.
You do Zombie also.
Yeah.
And there are a number of indie artists that you have brought in that you've done in your repertoire, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. Off the top of my head, I'm kind of blanking, but
yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. There's an artist named Kishibashi that I really like that I do a song called Summer of 42. That's really good, and I actually got to see him in concert with Taylor, my sister, and that was really special for us. But that's one that I always play because I enjoy it, but no one ever knows it, except for Taylor.
Yeah.
Do you like playing the acoustic or the electric more?
I like acoustic more, but I'm getting toward the electric stuff. I think I need to honestly do some neo soul or R&B work because I think that's more of what resonates with me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, but I do. I really love the acoustic guitar. I just think it's just beautiful, and it's what I learned on. So it's I think it's just closer to me. But yeah.
Well, you have a certainly, you know, a love for a time period of music that I don't know. To me, it lasts. And I'm not just saying that that's the greatest music of all time. That's because music is great. There's still a wealth of it today. In fact, you know, indie artists, there are so many different things you can pull from today and discover new things that are just mind-blowingly awesome because that artistry is still there. What tends to live in the commercial pop space is what the, you know, what record labels want to put out, and rightfully so. There's a lot of great pop music too, but a lot of the stuff that doesn't hit the mainstream now, you can find in so many different places, you know, in indie music. But it's my personal hope that just, you know, the iconic sounds that are really the foundation of all of that music from today, because that's really what singer-songwriters are pulling from anyway. They pull from what they're inspired from, whether it's country, whether it's R&B, gospel, or whatever those roots are, feed all of that. And, but, you know, you are, there's Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. I know once you discovered that duet and how special that was and how special a voice Marvin Gaye was. I mean, there are few things more legendary than the Motown sound and you know, what was established in that time period. And I really feel the same way about the, you know, the Memphis sound, because, you know, you've got people like Eddie Floyd that came out of, you know, that sound, in addition to Sam and Dave and so many, you know, of the others. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's almost really like it's limitless. And yeah. As being a Absolutely. Music junkie myself, it is, I mean, to me, it is the drug of all drugs. It is probably one of the greatest gifts that we've ever had. It was one of my favorite things that I shared with my dad, who probably instilled that love for me because music was always playing in our house also. And you know, the Phoebe and Taylor have really become that replacement for my dad since his passing, because y'all both have that same, you know, love for a lot of the things that he was, you know, into also, which is super cool.
Yeah. I think that's really special too. And I love getting to listen to a song and hear you say that, you know, this song reminds you of this part of your childhood, or this song reminds you of your father, or anyone or anything. It's cool how music is very good at holding memories and bringing them back instantly too, as soon as you hear a song that you remember.
It's so true.
Yeah. Is there any song or artist that you just cannot stand? Are you just like all music?
Well, I think I'm a little more open now. I think I used to have very strong feelings, but which I will keep to myself because I have respect for all musicians, and especially going into the music school, I never thought classical music would be something that I would enjoy or would resonate. But I've really learned the importance of kind of just being open to just hearing all music and not saying this is good, this is bad, just kind of observing and saying that you can learn something from every piece of music you listen to. So
I think that's part of, you know, aging also. But really, I mean, so Mom, Jody, has, you know, done that for me lyrically, because I never used to listen to lyrics, as we've joked about here on the show. Sam and I, same way for a long time. But you really... you opened me back up in a deeper level to people like Gordon Lightfoot, Bread, some of the other, you know, that kind of got the reputation of being wimpy. But then when you realize, whoa, wait, this is serious artistry, songwriting. When you talk about strings and horns and things being orchestrated together in a studio in one production, how elaborate. And then the other thing is, now that I've had exposure to country artists at some of these summits that I've gone through, just because of what we do for, you know, for a living, and they tell their stories about where these songs have come from and how it means, you connect a person to it immediately, it takes on exactly what Phoebe's talking about. Now, I'm with you. I don't judge any of it anymore, whether it's my personal taste or not. I just love music, you know, because of, you know, of what it is. And I just think that's really, I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. When I hear those personal stories like that, I from that point on, I can never let go of that song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether I like the song or not, it's just like, I know that song now, and it's always going to be with me because you told me the story.
You personalized it. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so Phoebes, we'll have to do another podcast on this, because we could almost do a whole series just on music. It's the same passion, I think, for all of us here, and the next time that Mom's here. But thanks for hanging out with us. This is cool after
thanks
the show
for
podcast.
Me. Yeah, this is fun. I'm here to talk about music anytime y'all want.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast.
The wait is over. Live table games have arrived in New York City. Experience blackjack, baccarat, craps, and roulette 24/7 only at Resorts World New York City. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Standard message rates apply.
Discover a spectacular island destination with crystal blue seas, endless sunshine, and the cool Bahamian breeze. Baja Mar, located in Nassau, Bahamas, offers your choice of three luxury hotels, over 45 fine dining and nightlife venues, Jean Baptiste's all-new jazz club, the Caribbean's most luxurious casino, and one-of-a-kind experiences for the entire family, like our 15-acre tropical water park, wildlife sanctuary, world-class golf course, and so much more. Visit BajaMar.com today.